When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Ah, yes, and so we begin 10:02 on this midday Monday. Mark Malusis in for BT and Sal. Holiday week, Dove Alex across the way. Number to call, 888-808-1019. We're taking it right up until 2 o'clock this afternoon, and there's a lot to get into for sure. Manaea back with the Mets, 3 years, $75 million deal. A move that was broken by John Heyman, I think, at 1:45 this morning. So we'll get into that. A lot of baseball to react to. We'll touch upon the Rangers and Chris Drury. We'll get into that in a little bit. But, you know, it's kind of funny when you look at it. It's like, what do you start with, bad or bad, when you look at the Giants and the Jets? Like, well, which one's worse? Like, where do you go? Like, let's start with Big Blue, and then we'll get into the circus that is the New York Jets. And it is becoming more and more difficult by the week to go out there and defend or make a case for the current leadership to remain in place. I mean, that's just being honest. You know, John Mara, the Giants co-owner, has made it perfectly clear, you know, it's kind of the Mara way. A relevant season is when the Giants are playing meaningful football games at the end of the season. The losing and the double-digit loss seasons have become well too commonplace. 3 years ago was an outlier, year one of Shane Daboll. And unfortunately, they leaned into that instead of having an understanding that they needed to rebuild this Giant organization, which leads us to today. As the Giants have now lost 10 games in a row, Falcons defense outscoring the Giants offense yesterday. I mean, Drew Lock is brutal. When you're looking at a quarterback in the National Football League, it's amazing that he got the one-year deal that he did from the Giants in the offseason and, you know, came to the Giants, actually looks worse. You know, they target Malik Nabers 14 times. He has 7 receptions, so we don't have to hear about Nabers not being targeted. It didn't really matter. I mean, the Giants led that game at one point in time 7-0. Pretty touchdown pass from Lock to Tyrone Tracy. Gets the puppies down. But after that, I mean, the Atlanta Falcons just, and especially defensively, and some of the decisions. I mean, Lock had, you know, turns the ball over 3 times, strip sack. You know, 2 of them gets returned back for touchdowns by the Falcons defense. Giants have 10 penalties. We can look at certain plays and trying to grade out effort of this Giant team and this Giant organization. But really what it comes down to, I'll ask you this question is this, is, you know, what is, let's start with the head coach first and foremost. You know, what is Giant football? Like it's a simple question, right? It should be easy to answer. Like what defines Giant football under head coach Brian Daboll? What are they? What do they want to be? You know, growing up going to, you know, the old Giant Stadium many a time, you know, with my dad, you know, sitting there in the cold, especially going to see, you know, when Parcells was on the sideline, Joe Gibbs on the sideline for Washington, being there for a number of Giants and Washington games and all that, Art Monk, Ricky Sanders, Gary Clark, obviously Lawrence Taylor, Joe Morris. But you knew what Giant football was. It was. And those were good times. There's no doubt about it. But you knew what Giant football was. And you knew that they were led defensively by the linebackers. They were big up front. George Martin, you know, Jim Burr. I mean, you knew what they were. Leonard Marshall. You knew that their offensive line was going to be rock solid. They wanted to run it. You knew wind played a factor. They were going to be smart on special teams. They weren't going to go out there and beat you. You know, they weren't going to go out there and beat themselves. They were going to be a team that, you know, you kind of knew what they were. What are the Giants now? Like, that's what you got to ask yourself. Why does it look as bad as it does? Like, that's the question I'd have for the head coach. And, you know, it's easy for him after games to go out there and say it's all on me. Well, yeah, for sure, it is all on Brian Daboll. But my question would be is, then why are you not coaching the entire team? Why are you calling plays? Why did it look so different year number one, where it was so refreshing coming off the Joe Judge era, where the Giants looked, I mean, poorly coached, where he wanted to do everything himself, wasn't asking for help, and ended up being an unmitigated disaster? I don't care how good the press conference was. I don't care how good he was, you know, when he initially met with the Giants co-owner, John Mara, and how overwhelmed they were. Joe Judge did not work as a head coach, and you're starting to get those senses, that feeling, when you're looking at the Giants head coach. Because it's becoming more and more difficult here for the hard-paying Giant fan that goes out to MetLife Stadium each and every week, right? That's sitting there in the parking lot, not now, but sitting there during relevant seasons, putting their hard-earned money down, want to go out there and be proud of this franchise and bleed blue, right? Good old-fashioned, as Tom Coughlin used to say, good old-fashioned Giant pride. Well, what exactly are the Giants now? And that's where you look at the head coach and I say to yourself, well, what exactly defines Giant football under this head coach? What are they? Because nothing seems to improve. The Giant defense was really good under Wink Martindale. It was. And I understand Wink Martindale's not an easy guy to get along with. I understand that he rubs some people the wrong way and, you know, it could be a short-term fix. It's not going to be a long-term solution. And, you know, Wink has his guys part of that inner circle and maybe didn't play nice on that Giant coaching staff. But I'll tell you this, Wink Martindale as a defensive coordinator was really good. And when he left that building and left that facility and left that organization, you can't tell me that that Giant organization was not weakened. Well, that had everything to do with his relationship with head coach and Brian Daboll. Now you look at the quarterback, and you want to look at this saying, well, the Giants would be in a much different situation, much better position, you know, say for argument's sake, if, you know, Daniel Jones didn't start the season. Nonsense. His team isn't necessarily a quarterback away. Like, you look at the performance yesterday, well, results are results, right? You look at it and you say, well, Drew Locke's non-competitive as a quarterback in the National Football League for sure, right? But the injuries that have beset this team, like you look at yesterday's game as more of an example, as an eye-opener than the game against the Baltimore Ravens. Because when the Ravens come to town with Lamar Jackson and Harbaugh, I mean, that's a team that can do damage in the AFC playoffs. That's a team that potentially could get down to New Orleans in the Super Bowl. You know, that is a Giant organization that is bringing, you know, a knife to a gunfight. I mean, there is no chance. As I told you in the morning when I was doing the Football Sunday show, just name the margin. You know, if the Baltimore Ravens played a relatively clean football game, minded their P's and Q's, I mean, they could name the number that they wanted to score at the end of the day. That was not a fair fight. Yesterday is more eye-opening. The Buccaneer game is more eye-opening. Not saying that Tampa is this unbeatable team, even though they came crashing down to earth last night against the Dallas Cowboys, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were a team that you started DeVito, you wanted to play DeVito, all these things that we saw at the time, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers came in here and not just beat you, they embarrassed you and they mocked you. Yesterday against a rookie quarterback in Michael Penix, what exactly did you do, Shane Bowen, to go out there and make him as uncomfortable as he could be? I understand he's an older guy, played a lot of college football, whether it be at Indiana or Washington, but what exactly did you do defensively to try and make him as uncomfortable as he could? To the point where after the game, you know, you had people around the Atlanta Falcons saying he played nearly perfect despite the one turnover he had. What exactly did you do offensively? As Brian Daboll has taken over the play calling duties from Mike Kafka here for the better part of the last year plus, how exactly is this offense improved? Like, it's one thing to look at and say, well, it's the offensive line, it's all this. Where's the vision? Why does everything seem to look worse? Why is this team riding a 10-game losing streak? Why is it there this one game in which the Giants don't go out there? And yesterday they jumped out 7-0 and they got outscored 34-0 the rest of the game. They had 10 penalties over the course of the game. When does it start to look a little bit better? This week against the Indianapolis Colts? And place a, you know, holiday week? place that's going to be a quarter filled? Going to be more Colt fans than Giant fans in attendance out at MetLife Stadium? Is it going to be this week where it looks a little bit better? Like, that's the concern you have. That's why you wake up on this Monday, and it is a couple days away from Christmas. Santa about to arrive. You know, holidays, Hanukkah, everything that comes to New Year, we're going to ring it in next week. And you look in and you say to yourself, well, why exactly do you say Coach Brian Daboll deserves more time? Because of what he did in year one? Or was year one an outlier, and it's more a case of what we saw last year and this year? And then the other question that you have to ask yourself is this. Let's learn from other people's failures. My mom and dad used to tell me that all the time, right? You look around, you learn from what other people do. Learn from their failures and don't make the same mistake. Now, you might say to yourself, well, why do you say that? Well, let's look to another great city in this country. And let's look to Chicago. And let's look to the Bears. I said it at the time, it didn't really make much sense to me how the Chicago Bears were, you know, getting rid of Fields. That didn't bother me. Drafting Caleb Williams number one overall. And then bringing in a head coach that he had concerns about back in Eberflus. And that didn't make much sense to me. Because the quarterback is the way. We see it time and time again in the National Football League, right? You don't have one, you're in search of one. The franchise quarterback can make up, especially if he is an upper echelon elite franchise quarterback, can make up for disparities within your roster, shortcomings on your team, because he makes everyone around him better, right? You don't need to have everything be the elite of the elite, because that quarterback has an understanding of what he needs to do in order to be victorious. It's a quarterback-driven league, right? This is not saying something that everybody else out there, you know, the guy down at the street corner ordering a breakfast sandwich this morning doesn't know, right? It's a quarterback-driven league, right? So the Chicago Bears go out there and draft Caleb Williams number one overall. They bring Eberflus back. Eberflus ends up getting fired because of the poor clock management at the end of the Thanksgiving game, you know, in Detroit against the Lions. And now the Chicago Bears are in search of their answer as a head coach. So now year number one of Caleb Williams, their franchise quarterback, their difference maker, now all of a sudden you're making drastic change. Because the question you have to ask yourself is this. If you're thinking about this from a macro perspective is, well, I'm not only bringing Daboll back for 2025, I'm bringing him back for 2025 and 2026. I'm going to give him time. Especially if I'm drafting Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward, because you wake up this morning and because of the Raiders' victory over the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Giants are sitting here. Yes, I mean, they've. If you're going to be bad, be really bad. Well, the Giants, you know, basically said, hold my beer, and they've been that, right? They've lost 10 in a row, and the Giants are sitting there as right now the front runners have the number one overall pick in the 2025 NFL draft, and they need a quarterback. So whether it be Sanders out of Colorado, Cam Ward coming out of Miami, then you got to say to yourself, well, the head coach and Daboll, do I certainly believe in him to be the guy moving forward? Not just for 2025, but he's going to be the answer. Because if you have any questions, if you're the Giants co-owner John Mara, and you can withstand the planes, you can withstand the anger, you can withstand the vitriol, you can, because all the fans are doing are venting their frustration. They have every right to, right? They're paying customers, right? That's why, you know, the Giants, and that's why the co-owner talked about the popularity of Saquon Barkley when he left in free agency. He gets it. It's a business, no doubt. You want to sell jerseys. You also want to win football games, right? So once the Giants start winning, all of this, you know, ceases to exist, but they can't find a way to win. Losing has become well too commonplace. But for Daboll here is, have you seen enough to where you say to yourself, I'm confident in him for not just 25, but for also for 26, because if I'm going to draft a quarterback and I don't want to make the same mistake I did with Daniel Jones, I don't want to do what I did or what the Chicago Bears are doing now with Caleb Williams and what other organizations have done in the past, I don't want to all of a sudden change everything. If I have concerns about him going into 2025, well, then you have to make the change and rip the Band-Aid off now. Because come the spring, come April and May, the Giants are going to be in a position to hopefully draft a player And if they get it right, that changes everything. And you want to be put, you want to put that individual in the best possible position to be successful. And that it starts with a head coach. It starts with his vision. It starts with his ability to develop and get the best out of said players. That's what you have to ask yourself. The Giants stink. I mean, there's no other way to cut it. Should they be better than two victories? Yeah, I mean, they should be. But, I mean, what are we couching in here? Should they have five wins, six wins, whatever it might be? There is a lack of talent. The injuries have hurt this team. I don't think the coaching staff is put in a position to be successful. I think there was a regression when you look at the defensive coordinator as compared to Wink Martindale and Shane Bowen. And I also think Daboll was way too focused on the offense and not being the head coach of this team. I think there's a reason if you look back year number one, when he coached the entire team and Kafka was calling plays, this worked a lot better. Now you get to the general manager. And listen, you could look at Chicago and say, well, their general manager's staying and they're looking for a new head coach. And you could also look at some of the decisions that Joe Shane has made over the course of time and say to yourself, well, I don't know if I necessarily believe in his vision. And Shane's an interesting case because, you know, I think, you know, being an inexperienced general manager hurt him initially year number one. Leaning into the success of the New York Giants, year number one. Leaning into the playoff push, the playoff season, the victory in Minnesota, and then the learning experience getting routed in the against the Philadelphia Eagles the following week. Learn from it. There was also learning experiences as well. I don't think Hard Knocks offseason with the New York Giants has done Joe Shane any favors in terms of the perception of the general manager. That's just being truthful. And some of the stuff that continues to get thrown out there on social media. But what John Mara has to ask himself is this. Do you believe that the general manager now, after a solid draft class, solid offseason, that this team should be better than two wins? You have more concerns about the head coach than you do the general manager, for argument's sake. Because you can't do it the opposite way. The idea that both need to go is just, I don't know if I necessarily believe in that. I mean, I think they both could get fired. I don't think you keep the head coach and fire the general manager, do what the Jets did with Rex Ryan a number of years ago. I think the one that's on the hottest seat, I think, is the head coach. I think what Paul Schwartz wrote about in the New York Post last week is fair. I think when you look at where this team is, what defines Giant football, the way that this team is playing, the answers you get after the game, even though that really doesn't play into the decision-making, it's a results-oriented business, and this season is really bad. And despite what John O'Hara had to say before the, you know, premiere of the documentary on his father, you know, on the NFL Network, where he told Giant reporters that, you know, and he craves stability. He doesn't want a constant turnover. He doesn't want the Giant organization to be a turnstile, where you're constantly looking for the next guy. He wants to try and stay the course. It's becoming more and more difficult by the week from what we are all witnessing on the field. And that's where Giant fans, you have every right to be utterly frustrated. You have every right, if you're a Giant fan, to spend the $1,500 and have the flyovers over MetLife Stadium. You have every right to look at this team and say, I don't want to watch this anymore. Where exactly is the growth? What looks better? Where is this team improving? And to be fair, it's not even on the margins. To be fair, when you're watching this team week in and week out, it's hard to lock into anything positive. When you're turning to Tommy DeVito for a spark, and I went to Don Bosco Prep, and Tommy DeVito isn't good. That's a problem.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers. Yeah! The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
888-808-1019 is your number to call. Mark Melusis in for BT and Sal on this Monday midday. Get it going, little Giant football. Let's head to the phone, shall we? First up, out to Queens we go. It's Richie. It's the Fan. What's going on, Richie? Hello. Richie. No, I don't think Richie is there. Let's try Dan at Seaford. Second time's a charm. Danny, what's going on, brother?
What's up, Ma? What's up? How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Hey, I think we're all duped when we hired Dabo and Shane, thinking they were going to come in and, you know, he was a quarterback guru and he developed Josh Allen. I think you and I could have developed Josh Allen into a quarterback that he is today. I mean, again, I think I wanted to give these guys the benefit of the doubt, and over the last two or three years, I mean, they're not even competitive, most. I mean, I see other teams. The Kansas City Chiefs have the guy playing left guard. Now he's playing left tackle. They're still winning games. I mean, I see every other team is able to move the ball down the field, and it's just pathetic. I mean,
But Danny, the Chiefs have evolved and changed as well. I mean, the tackles continue to be an issue. Lady Luck has been on their side a little bit this year. They also have the best quarterback in the NFL when you're looking at Patrick Mahomes.
I'm using him as an example. But
Hall of Famer and a head coach and Andy Reid and one of the best defensive coordinators in Spagnuolo. So they've adjusted. They're not nearly as explosive as they once were. I wouldn't compare anybody really to the Kansas City Chiefs.
I'm using that as a bad example, but I mean every team in the NFL. I watch the red zone. I mean every team, and I watch just a lot of games. And every team, no matter who the quarterback is, they're able to move the ball. I mean, we can't even move the ball.
Well, I don't know. Well, I would say you're not wrong. It looks really bad. Like I wouldn't listen. There are bad teams. That's why I kicked it off this morning talking about like where is it improved. Like, where, when you look at this giant team, you know, where is it improved? I think Shane, you know, got a big-time learning lesson with the success after year number one. And, Dad, thanks a lot for the call. I think when you look at the head coach and Brian Daboll is, you know, I don't think it's fair to say anybody could have success with, you know, Josh Allen or develop Josh Allen. I think that's a little bit unfair. I think you want to give him some credit. I think, you know, when you look now, you know, Joe Brady has revitalized his career with the job that he's done with the Buffalo Bills after taking over for the fired Ken Dorsey, to the point where Brady, who was, you know, if you all remember, and maybe you do, maybe you don't, I mean, Brady was down at LSU with Joe Burrow when he had as good of a college football season as a quarterback will ever have in the history of college football. And then he went to Carolina, was a disaster there, lost his job, and then locked on to the Bills staff and ends up taking over for Dorsey and has revitalized himself to the point where Joe Brady will probably get opportunities to interview for head coaching jobs this coming offseason. So you look at Daboll and you say, well, he had vast experience, whether it be New England, whether it be Alabama with Saban, whether it be up in Buffalo. There was the relationship, and there is that relationship with Shane and Daboll that you have to take note of for sure. But I don't think there is this connectivity to where you have to get rid of both if you're John Mara. I mean, you could. I mean, you know, if he co-owns the team, you know, if he feels that the vision isn't right or he's uncomfortable, but those moves need to be made now. Like, and I'm not talking about this morning. I'm talking about before you draft what you hope to be is the franchise-changing quarterback next spring in the NFL draft. Like, that's what you need to do. Like, you can't have doubts. Like driving down this morning thinking about like if you're the Giants co-owner, if you're in that room and making those decisions, you have to say to yourself, you know, I wholeheartedly believe, because the last thing you want to do is have draft a quarterback and then have a foundational shift within the organization with that quarterback after year number one and repeat the same problems you have and what you've done in the past. Learn from your failures in the past. Learn from what you saw in Chicago with the Bears. Syosset we go. It's Frank. It's the fan. What's going on, Frank?
Mark, happy holidays.
Happy holidays, Frank. What's on your mind, buddy?
The last time I heard you taking calls on the fan, I was going to call you in and give you another one of my bad Rodney Dangerfield impressions, because you were telling us about your wife asking you to take the garbage out. And my wife asked me to take the garbage out, and I told her, you cooked it, you take it out. Anyway. Stop. Anyway, I know you like the Rodney Dangerfield joke.
I do. I was watching a set that he did like 2 weeks ago on the Carson show. Yeah, Dangerfield is great, no doubt.
Legend. He was the best, Mark. Anyway, on a serious note, you touched on talent with the Giants. I was talking to Jonathan Castillos yesterday. I called the Giant post-game broadcast a lot, and I asked him. I said, well, what is the problem with losing with this team? Is it a lack of a young roster? Is it a lack of talent? Is it a lack of them just not having enough experience with NFL technique? Because there's a difference between fundamentals in high school and college and fundamentals in the NFL. And he even added, he said, yes, it's a combination of all those things. He said, I just want to also add that I feel there should be a veteran in every room. And the rookies are not spending time with the veterans on the team. So who makes the decisions, Mark, is my question to you, on the balance of veterans and rookies? Who makes those decisions? Like, we know in the Yankees, you could see Wells as a developing player.
Well, that falls on, I mean, there's a number of people that are in the room. I mean, but that all ultimately falls on the general manager and the coach. I mean, both have influence in terms of how the roster is cut, how the room looks, where those veteran leaders are placed, for sure. But this team has lost a lot when you're talking about veteran leadership in that room. Whatever you think about Daniel Jones as a player, now a member of the Minnesota Vikings, unquestionably Daniel Jones was a leader. You know, to the point where, as you saw the story last week, he was sending, you know, his former offensive lineman Christmas gifts. Saquon Barkley had a huge voice in that room. The Giants lost a lot, not just the player, but also from a leadership perspective when you're looking at Saquon Barkley in that room as well. And that's just, now there are other guys. Yeah, you look at Brian Burns. The messaging that he has had is this season has gone awry. You look at Dexter Lawrence before he dislocated his elbow against the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving. There are leaders on this team, Frank. You know, I'm not, and Jonathan Casillas, you know, is, you know, I've never played it down in the National Football League. Jonathan did. So he's speaking to that and saying that there needs to be more veterans on this team. You want to make the argument, and you can look at it if you're Joe Shane and say, well, the team is awfully young. They're going to get better. They're going to learn from this. We had a good draft class. We're going to get better. Well, yeah, but you're also going to look at some misses here. Is Kayvon Thibodeau exactly the player that you thought he was going to be coming out of Oregon? No. Does he work in the National Football League? Can he help this Giant defense? For sure. But you drafted Thibodeau to be kind of a game wrecker. Is he that kind of a player? No. Evan Neal has been a massive disappointment when you're looking at him. You know, we've had the conversations about Devontae Banks and his effort week in and week out, and where exactly is his focus when you're looking at Tay Banks, to the point where veterans have gone to him, you know, and ripped him a new one. Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns, all these things, like, we've seen this. And then you get to the leadership of the head coach. You know, think about where this organization was. You know, I don't mean to depress you. Christmas is a couple of days away. Think about where this organization was under Tom Coughlin and where they are now. Think about how everything has changed. You know, when, you know, Eli is crying at his press conference over in Jersey, and Coughlin saying, Eli, it's not you, it's me. And he walked off that podium, and where the Giants and what this organization has gone through since then and where they are right now. And they're sitting here as having, you know, the pole position, have the number one overall pick in the 2025 NFL draft. We're looking at the direction of this franchise. And I ask you, every Giant fan out there, under Brian Daboll, what exactly defines Giant football? Besides the non-answers you get after games, what exactly does this team do well? What do they do well? Where have they improved? Where have they gotten better? Put the injuries aside. Yes, everybody gets hurt in the National Football League. Yes, it's a barbaric sport that we all love, and we can't wait to sit back, relax, have a libation, and watch on NFL Sundays. Everybody gets hurt. Everybody plays through and deals with injuries. Besides all that, where is this team improved? Where have they gotten better?
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk about your Jets on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 10:43, Mark Melusis with you. A Monday midday in for BT and Sal, rolling right up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Giants early. We'll get into the Jets. A little bit of baseball. The Yankees addressing their first base situation with Paul Goldschmidt. Get into that. Manaea back with the Mets. But football, the theme early, out to Chatham, New Jersey. It's Matt. It's the fan. What's going on, Matt?
About the Giants. I think they both have to go. Shane has mismanaged the roster with not signing Julian Love. Then the Barkley, he didn't tag. Didn't want to tag Barkley. He wanted to tag Jones, but in the last hour he switched. When he switched, he gave up all his leverage. So he wound up paying Jones, giving him a contract that would have paid him $44 million. If you look at that, the tag was 27. So he's, $15 million above where him and Barkley were $1 million apart. So over, he's talking over a course of a five-year deal, you're talking $5 million versus, $15 million in the first year. I mean, do the math. It's just ridiculous. Then last year, he's traded away all kinds of draft choices. Like the Waller trade, he traded two draft choices away in a year when you had a deep tight end class. That made no sense.
Well, they gambled on Waller. It didn't work out. Listen, there are plenty of things to pick apart Joe Shane and say that he needs to go, and that both Dable and Joe Shane need to go. There's no question about it. Like the handling, I go back to, what I said earlier in the program. I think the learning experience, I think Joe hinted upon this when the Giants hit their bye and he met with the media. The learning experience and the inexperience of Shane as a general manager to kind of realizing what is real and what's not. And what we have come to find out, what happened year number one was not real. It happened for sure. And what I mean by that is it was not sustainable. And I think Shane got a big time learning lesson. Daniel Jones was not sustainable. For me, listen, he suffered two neck injuries, a torn ACL, got beat up behind a bad offensive line. The offensive line 2 years ago allowed 85 sacks. You can look at the general manager and you can say, well, that's all got to change. The big thing is here, though, Matt, is the question you got to ask. We can look back and you can look back on all of it. The question that you have to ask yourself if you're the Giants co-owner, John Mara, and John Mara is the only one that really can answer this question. You can't, I can't, because we don't co-own the team, right? We're not in a position to make those changes. Is do you trust Shane to get it right to draft the quarterback?
No.
That's it. And if you don't, then you move on. If you don't, then you move on. Then you have to ask yourself, well, when we draft the quarterback, do we have a head coach that's in place that's going to put the coaching staff and the offensive staff together, or these guys stick around that's going to be able to develop in this the said quarterback and put them in a position to win? Those are the questions you got to ask yourself. Like, that's where we're at now. Like, you can look back and you could say, everyone needs to go. I'm frustrated. I'm a Giant fan. Fire them all. We've seen the planes fly over MetLife Stadium. We've seen the results. This is historically bad. This isn't just bad. It's historically bad. Now, does it all change when you start to win if you keep this brain trust together? No doubt. But the winning hasn't come easy. And like I mentioned before, it's becoming more and more difficult to look at it by the week and say, yes, I believe, because sometimes you can convince yourself of something that's not really there, that you want to believe. You want to think it's right. You want to believe in the vision. Everything that is said is correct, but it's a results-oriented business. That's what the National Football League is. You are graded and judged each and every week during the regular season, whether you are good enough or whether you're not, based on the results of said game. And when you look at the way that this Giant team on the field, and you could say, well, it's the general manager putting together the roster, they're not supremely talented. Or you could look at it and say, well, I mean, the injuries, you can't lose, Dexter Lawrence and Andrew Thomas and whatever, and everything that you've lost here. The regression you saw with Daniel Jones, you know, DeVito is never going to be the answer. Obviously, the regression you've seen in Drew Locke. Well, my question would be, why does Locke look so bad? Like, just, I mean, non-competitive. Like, yesterday was non-competitive. Like, awful. Like, the decision-making was terrible. Not thrown with any sort of anticipation. He's gotten worse. Why does it look as bad as it does? Why do you look non-competitive? It's easy if you're the head coach saying, well, it's on me. Yeah, it's on you. Like, what are you doing during the week to put this team in the best? Even with the roster limitations, even with the injuries, to put this team in the best possible position to be competitive. Like, that's where we're at now with the Giants. Like, can you give me a competitive effort? Instead of watching what it is yesterday in the second half, you're finding something else, or you're looking at, you know, you're looking for something else to entertain you. Some other game. Connor in Rutherford's up next in the Fan. What's going on, Connor?
How are you, sir?
How are you, Connor?
I'm doing great. Getting ready for the long week. Question for you. I know, Daboll and Shane aside, the Mara family track record of running this organization has not been great. People have to remember, I think it was Pete Rozelle in 78 or 79, said, Mr. Mara, we're taking your team away from you because you're doing such a bad job, and we're bringing you this guy named George Young. I mean, and then Ernie, of course, he came along, and success followed them. But the Mara family hasn't really done well for the last 30 years. Let's be honest.
Well, they won a Super Bowl in 2007, won a Super Bowl in 2011.
You
they
did.
Had four Super Bowl trophies when you walk into their facility. So let's
agreed, and that's because George Young and Ernie Accorsi were tremendous general managers that basically were told by the NFL, you're running the team.
Well, that's not true about Accorsi, but the George Young, if you were going to get the history correct, there was a fight within the Mara family. And that's why Rozelle stepped in with George Young. And George Young initially did not, if you look back on it, did not initially have success running the Giant organization. Obviously, it all changed with Parcells and some of the draft picks. I'm not minimizing the impact of George Young, for sure. But if we're going to go through history, let's get the history lesson correct. And that's the issue that you had. Yes, the Giants were a laughingstock. So what do you want, the NFL to step in right now? The National Football League would love the Giants to obviously be successful. They are a proud franchise for sure. But right now, it's on them. Right now, they've got to figure out a way. And I do think, you know, a quarterback, and you got to get that pick correct. Whoever it might be, Sanders, Ward, Sanders, whoever it might be. And those are the two guys that are going to be debated about as we inch closer and closer. If the Giants end up, in all likelihood they will, with the number one overall draft pick, you've got to get that selection correct. So we'll see exactly where Sanders and Ward end up, where the Giants end up going. But that selection needs to be correct, and you've got to get the right one. So, you know, and right now, yeah, you want to look at it if you're a Giant fan, you're a hard-paying Giant fan showing up at a MetLife Stadium and you are supremely frustrated, you have every right to be. It's been non-competitive, double-digit loss seasons. Mike in Nutley, New Jersey, up next on the Fan. What's going on, Mike? Mike is not there. Oh, Mike, are you with us?
Hi, no, I'm here. I'm here, Mark. Mark, I'm here.
You
I'm
got
here.
It, Mike. What's
Hi,
on your
Mark.
Mind,
sorry.
You got it.
Mark, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Merry Christmas. Listen, Mark, I think you've hit on a lot of themes today, all right? Management of the team is the biggest concern. This season's gone. I've been rooting for them since 66. The problem is, in order to play competitive football, you have to compete within the division. They are 3-13-1 in the division in the last 3 years. I don't have any problem with I have a problem with Daboll. I agree with all your sentiments. I think he's got to go. But I also don't think Shane deserves to stay. He's not built the depth with the team. Regardless of what happened in 22, regardless of whether it was true or false, which we believe now to be false, his management of the roster is terrible, all right? And what frustrates me more than anything else is I'd like to see the reporters and even some of the people in the radio business start to ask the questions, give us reasons for why we should believe in the vision. Why doesn't anybody ask, can't talk to Shane now, but why doesn't anybody ask Daboll after the game? Who cares about whether they got blown out or not?
He's not going to answer. Dabo's going to meet with the media in less than an hour. And Doe and I were talking about during the course of the break. I'm not going to say anything. Like, he says nothing.
That's fine. But keep pressing him.
You have guys. I mean, the guys that cover the team and the guys and the gals that cover the team, they do a great job asking the right questions after games, whether it be Pat or Chris. I mean, Giants. They ask the right questions after games.
But they ask the questions, how are you going to turn around a 10-game losing streak? What did he say? Try to go on to the next week. Do what I can. The pointed question is, Brian, forget about this season. What do you tell the fans to make you believe that you're the right guy going forward? That's the question.
Let's see what he does. I got you. I mean,
here's the deal, Mike, and
you could ask that question. Do I think you're going to get an answer that's going to satisfy and appease you? I do not. But you want that specific question? I don't think that one's been asked. Maybe someone can ask that question. Maybe we can hop on the Zoom and ask that question. We'll have Alex across the way ask that exact question. Matt in Brookfield, Connecticut's up next to the fan. What's going on, Matt?
What's going on? 79 and 133. That is the New York Giants record since February 2012 when they won the Super Bowl, 46. So clearly this is Dable, Shane. You can play that game. Obviously, I want both gone. Saw the same thing with Judge. Saw the same thing with Shermer. This is deeply rooted with the Giants. Kevin Abrams, Chris Mara, whatever that Tim guy is. I forget his name. Tim McDonald. Brandon Brown, the guy who's a joke on the Hard Knocks show. Brandon Brown, assistant to the general manager. We have so many deeply rooted issues within this organization. It goes so far back. There's so many people, blind faces that we don't know. Outside of Dable, outside of Shane, obviously, if we want to get a quarterback, we want to reset. Got to get rid of them. My point is, this goes much further back. There's a lot more people responsible for this than we know.
Well, Matt, I think it's a failure on all different levels. So, I mean, Brown is well-regarded around the National Football League. He almost left to join Harbaugh out in Los Angeles with the Chargers. So, you want to say that it's a cultural issue within the Giants organization that goes deeper? You can change the coach. You can change the general managers. The problems are going to go out there and still persist. You didn't like what you saw during Hard Knocks offseason with the New York Giants. You didn't like the tone and the tenor, and you know I could understand that. I think there's a lot there that you say you're a little concerned, raise an eyebrow to for sure with what we witnessed. And you got to remember, I mean, we didn't witness it all because that was the stuff that you know the Giants allowed what they wanted out there. So there's clearly other stuff that clearly was going on behind the scenes. And then you get to the results. I think ultimately it's about where this team is. Ultimately, you wake up on this Monday morning and the Giants are 2-13 and they stink. And you say to yourself, I can't. Where is it changing? How exactly is it going to get better? And we're not just one quarterback away. A quarterback will help, but it will not resolve everything. And you have every right to believe that.